Hello and welcome to Hardcover Hoes, a long-distance book club where two book lovers express their feelings on their book of the moment via podcast. I am one half of your host, Sam Cabrera-Dixon.
I'm Sammy Skorstad.
You sure?
Yeah, sorry, my mom just tried to call and so distracted.
That's okay. Together we have come through Book Talk, combined our to-be-read lists, and now we intend to make our way through them one book at a time. We'd love for you to come along with us and join the discussion.
The book of the moment for today's episode is Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas. Just a forewarning for those of you listening, this is not a spoiler-free zone. This is not a spoiler-free zone. We will be discussing this book in all of its glory, which of course includes revealing the ending. Aidan Thomas is a trans Latinx New York Times bestselling author with an MFA in creative writing from Mills College. Originally from Oakland, California, they now make their home in Portland, Oregon.
Wait, what?
No way! Aidan is notorious for not being able to guess the endings of books and movies and organizes their bookshelves by color.
Oh my God. Are we the same person?
You really are.
What's going on? I didn't know Aidan lives in Portland. What?
How exciting. What? We should go find them.
True. Oh, I forget I read next. I was like, why aren't you going?
Your turn.
I feel like we haven't done this in a while. Why do I feel like out of practice? I'm like, I don't remember how to do this. Before we jump into discussing our own thoughts and feelings regarding this book, I'm going to go ahead and read the blurb on the back of the book for the sake of contextualizing it. Quote, Yadriel has summoned a ghost and now he can't get rid of him. When his traditional Latinx family has problems accepting his gender, Yadriel becomes determined to prove himself a real brujo. With the help of his cousin and best friend Maritza, he performs the ritual himself and then sets out to find the ghost of his murdered cousin and set it free. However, the ghost he summons is actually Julian Diaz, the school's resident bad boy, and Julian is not about to go quietly into death. He's determined to find out what happened and tie up some loose ends before he leaves. Left with no choice, Yadriel agrees to help Julian so that they can both get what they want. But the longer Yadriel spends with Julian, the less he wants him to leave. Without any further ado, let's get into it.
Alrighty.
Quick trigger warnings. Blood, reference to drug use, unintentional ableist language, well, including the word lame, transphobia, dead naming, misgendering, reference to deportation, xenophobia, racism, forced burning, and child abuse. So, this is one of those books that circulates everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been seeing this cover for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know what I thought, apparently. Oh, sorry, I was reading an email.
Okay.
And now it's on Kindle Unlimited, which was really exciting. And it's on Scribd. So I was like, why not? I feel like we absolutely, how often do we get to read a book by a trans Latinx author in Pride Month? And it also included Pride Month in it, did it not? Or was that the other one I'm reading? Might be
that's
the other
one you're reading.
That this is the other one
around Dia de los Muertos.
You're right. It was completely very much not at this time of the year. No. My bad. Lots of books going on in my brain right now. What were your first impressions?
Okay, so I have had this book. Remember when I was making unemployment money and mm-hmm. I spent like $500 on books?
Yeah, I do remember. I think about that all the time, actually. Because I'm now that my physical TBR has dwindled, I'm like, I wish I had an opportunity like that right now. Like, I just I really badly just want to place like a $500 book order.
Yeah.
And then be like, wee!
I think that is when I got Cemetery Boys. So I've had it for years now, and it's just been sitting on my bookshelf. I still didn't open it because I listened to the audiobook, but I'm looking at it on my bookshelf right now. But I had no idea that there was trans representation in it. I thought it was just gay, and but like that was enough for me to be like, okay. I think I also like, okay, so I start reading this, right? And right off the bat, we get to know, like, Yadriel. I'm about to butcher these fucking accents. I'm so sorry. I'm so out of practice.
That's okay. I have this theory that, like, it's so hard for anybody to transition between trying to say words that are from a different language or names from a different language when you're speaking the other one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you like either I sound really white. Yeah. Yeah. Or when you're speaking Spanish, you sound fluent. Like, even when I'm reading them, I'm like, my brain is trying to say them the way they should be said. And then for some reason, it's coming out like, Yadriel.
Yadriel.
Why am I saying it like that?
I know. I was like, no, that's not it. But yes. So I'm like, I think right off the bat, I was like, I am so much more invested in stories with queer characters.
Same. Mm-hmm.
Just right off the bat. Like, I was like, I don't even care what this is about. I'm just happy everyone's gay. Like, or not like,
where are
gay,
the ghosty ghosties?
Gay ghosts? So I was like, gay ghosts. I want the gay ghosts. yeah. Like, I'm such a, you know, look, what's the opposite of homophobic?
Like, yeah, I get you. It's like you're very much a queer enthusiast.
I'm a queer enthusiast, but I'm like homophobic towards straight people.
Yeah, straight phobic, if you will.
Straight phobic, slightly. Yeah. Not slightly. Slightly. It's Pride Month. It's okay. I can say that.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just like, I was so much more in this book than I have been.
Right, right.
And I'm like, damn, I just really, I'm really here for the queers. And so, yeah. And you know what? Like, right off the bat too, I was like, okay, where's the romantic interest? I was like, I want the ghost boy. I want the romantic interest. And then that was very exciting. I was like, I did not really give a shit about, like, I wanted to know how Julian died.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't care about the plot much. I was just like, I want this cute little banter with them. And like, I want like his little antics and like their little dynamic, and that's what I was there for more than anything else. And then like by the time the plot twist happened, I was like, oh yeah, there's a plot. Yeah.
I feel like I was super invested plot wise in the beginning, especially when Yads was talking about how he like how his family was like, no, you can't do the ritual,
right?
So I was like, oh, okay, is this our conflict? That's what I thought the conflict was going to be. And then it was like, no, it's resolved in the first 20 pages. And I was like, okay, that's not our conflict. And then I, too, once we met Julian, I was like, ooh, okay. He's all hyper. He's got all this energy. He likes to, like, he's like a golden retriever.
I love characters like that. Like, especially male characters like that for some reason.
Because it's
like,
so opposite of how men are.
Yes, where I'm just like, he... Like, it's, like, just the most severe case of ADHD.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm just like, oh, that's so cute. Like, that's, like, not how it's not supposed to be. I don't know.
It's endearing. It's endearing.
I think it's so endearing. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the way he, like, he crossed out, like, Yaz's, like, dead name in the yearbook. Like, just these, right off the bat, like, he.
Super likable.
It's, like, but he's, like, the bad boy. But yeah, then he's got, like, he's actually this, like, heart of gold, like, loves so fiercely, and...
Yeah, he's a good bad boy.
And he's gay! Makes it so much better.
And I loved, like, the way that when Yads is like, is that going to be a problem that I'm trans, mm-hmm. and da-da-da? And so we think in the beginning, like, I don't know, is it to Julian? Like, is that going to be a problem? And then we get that, like, that moment that you said where he crosses out Yads' dead name in the yearbook and writes Yadriel. And it's like, okay, I see where this is going. And then when there's the reveal that he's also gay, and Yads is like...
What? Face goes bright red. Like,
I loved... Also, I found Yads so endearing. Like...
Yeah.
I was concerned for him at all times, I feel, because I was like, ghosts, scary. Okay.
Also, I just think the description of how he would like worry about things, I was like, oh, he's just an anxious little boy like me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I can relate to this. Relatable. This brand of anxiety.
The overthinking, overanalyzing, over. Yes. And then it's like, and then there's Julian in the corner, like, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Can I eat bread? Can I eat? Like, can I eat? I'm a ghost. Like, what can I eat?
And Yadriel, like, eventually gives up correcting him by saying spirit.
Yeah.
So funny. So funny. I really loved the cultural aspects of this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think a lot lately when we're reading these, like, more diverse queer rep books, Like, having books like this when we were growing up would have been so fucking nice.
Yeah.
Like, the more we get these really fun, just, like, there's not really a point to these stories. Like, there doesn't have to be an overall message to these stories. It can just be literally a book.
Telling stories.
With these queer, you know, diverse characters. And so I really, like, I love the dynamics of, like, Yaz's grandma and like her playing Selena on the in the mornings and like the bitty bitty bum bum coming through the speakers, like that kind of stuff. Growing up, I would have been like, okay, like this is so, like, you can see yourself in a story more so than, you know, than we used to. And so I was thoroughly, like, I was getting emo over this book for no reason, like damn well no reason, like towards the end. And also, oh, did you listen to the...
I did.
Okay.
The talking with the author.
So good. Yes, the little convo with the author and the narrator at the end, whose name I don't remember. I probably wrote down. But I guess I could pull out my notes for this, huh? I'm, like, trying to remember everything that happened. Do-do-do.
Notes might be helpful.
Oh, did I not?
Take notes.
Notes. Oops. There's no way. Okay, whatever. My notes are... Miguel died? Question mark. That's my only note. I think I accidentally shook my phone and deleted the note. Oops. Anyway, the interview with the author, between the author and the narrator at the end, was so cute because Aiden Thomas, you know, reached out to their publisher and was like, "Okay, for the narrator, can we try to find somebody who's queer and Latinx and see what we come up with?"
Yeah.
And the way the publisher turned around really quickly and was like, "Here you go.
Here's
literally
a trans
Latinx person." And when I was listening to the audiobook at first, I was like, "Oh, this is the same narrator from a different book, Cafe con Leche, which we'll read soon." Because I was like, "I know this voice. Why do I know this voice?" So I was like, that is so cool, first of all. Then I was crying because I was like, wow, what a good publisher.
Yeah, I know. Somebody who cares and listens and understands what, like, the importance of these things.
Yeah, and their conversation just made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah,
and
it was so cute.
It was so cute. I felt, and it made me like the book more. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
After finishing it, I was like, yeah, that was a book. Like, it was a good book. Like, it wasn't, fun little.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, this is the best work I've ever read, ever.
Yeah.
It was a fun little YA, like, there's a mystery involved, whodunit, you know, with gay ghosts. Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun little read, but it wasn't necessarily something where I'm like, oh yeah, this is like the end all be all of books.
Right.
But so getting that extra little something something at the end with the author and the narrator, I was like, okay, this is so fun. I feel like all audiobooks should have a conversation between the narrator
and the
author at the end, because it's like, you told the story and then you told the story, you know?
Yeah, literally. It's like, how did you want... Yoda was screaming at my door. Come here, Bean.
Yoda Bean,
come here. Come cuddle me. Good girl. It's like, how did you want to represent the story? Like, how did you choose to, like, go about representing this story?
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, having that conversation is so cool. I was like, this is... Like, this was a very much, like, this did not take a lot of brain power to read.
It was
listening to it. I was, like, giggling and, like, smiling, like, with, like, their little, like, the way they were going back and forth, like, the most anxious person ever and, like, the most carefree, just, like.
Literally.
Wants to live, like, fiery. And I love that dynamic. It's, like, it's not even necessarily, like, black cat, golden retriever. It's something, it's the, like. No, it's, you know what it is? It's the okay, la, 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 like, dynamic,
yes.
I think.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was so cute.
It was so cute. And I loved just, like, I also loved, like, the relationships, like, outside of just Yads and
yes.
Julian. Like, Maritza, like her.
Love that friendship.
I love that she was like, I don't want to do the thing, the ritual, because I don't want to use animal blood and da da da. And then when it's at the end and she's able to do healing and whatever because of all the like blood human on the ground blood, or whatever. And she's like, and you see, bitch, I didn't even need the animal blood.
Oh my God, it was so funny. And then what did she say? She was like, yeah, I guess my breaking point was like seeing you like dead on the, or like unconscious on the ground covered in blood. Like, I guess that's what it took for me to finally just do it. But
and the way that she's like yelling at Lady
Death. Yeah. Oh my God. The literal goddess. Like, no, you left.
I love that
you
energy.
You left him, you coward. Yeah.
I love that energy so much. I love the like, that's how you know that's love. Like that lair, you know, because you're like, against all odds, I will still be in your corner. I fucking loved that. That was so funny. And I obviously it was in like a particularly tense moment, but I was like, fuck yeah, put that bitch in her place.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
That was fucked up. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Before we move on to discuss the rest of Cemetery Boys, let's listen to a quick word about the brand sponsoring today's episode.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, let's continue the conversation. Yeah, what else? What else? What else?
So I do think it was, like, the whole plot of, like, maybe Miguel and, like, the deaths were connected wasn't fully developed, because then when it was, like, oh, they are connected, it was, like, oh, okay. I don't yeah. I just, like, didn't – I didn't care that much. It was, like – because I think so much of it then became focused on we have to figure out what happened to Julian. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of forgot about Miguel.
Yeah.
A little bit. And then, like, oh, they're connected. And there's this big thing going on. And I think also the interactions that they had with the Tio, he, like, that didn't build up enough where it was, like, I cared that it was him.
Yeah.
That did it. I was just like, okay, whatever. I just didn't. I was like, okay.
Sure. I think it was a pacing thing too, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, I think like from beginning to like where it all blows up at the end, like everything was, you know, taking its time and whatever. And then like the end just goes way too fast, in my opinion. Like,
yes, it's like everything happens at the end.
Yeah. Because throughout the whole book, like we're kind of thinking, oh my God, what if like Miguel did this to Julian?
Yeah, was, like, I thought maybe Miguel was the one who, I don't know.
Yeah, there was like maybe something malicious here that we're not really seeing. And I do think it was cruel that it did end up being his uncle who was always in his corner, you know?
I don't know that I love that. But yeah,
I don't think I did.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like, haha, the only person in your corner?
Like, but like the only other outsider of the family.
Yeah, and like that in that way too, perhaps it's just I have too much of a soft spot for the like morally gray, but like I got what he was saying.
Yeah.
I understood him. Yeah. I didn't think he executed it the correct way.
No.
What he wanted to do. However, I did understand what he was saying. And so that does make it a little harder for me, because what kind of loyalty would you have when you're constantly being cast out for being
that's true
slightly different than everybody else? And you know, the same can go for Yads and his experience. And
one thing, do think the writing of the different characters in the family and how they were processing Yadriel's like being trans and everything, I thought that was done, and like that made me, I think at the end I teared up a little bit, like when Yaz's dad was talking and he was talking like, and he was like, you always knew who you were and I'm sorry for not believing you, and like we're traditional doesn't mean we can't grow and become better and all that. And I was just like,
made me emo. That made me emo for sure. I think it was like a very roundabout way of like everybody else being taught the lesson. Yes. Yes. Like, it wasn't necessarily the reader and the main character being taught a lesson, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was like, the reader knows what's up, and yeah. the main character is teaching everybody else a lesson. Yes. Inadvertently, you know? Like, yes. So I also felt like emo at that, because, yeah, like, it was so hard in the beginning to watch Yad's dad be like, no,
stay with home. The other women.
Yeah, stay with the other women. Like, things like that were like, oh no, is this the direction we're going in? Yeah. No.
I don't like
which
this.
Is why it was so refreshing that his uncle was like, you know, whatever. Like, just super cool, easily adjusted to everything and whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it hurt even more. But yeah. that, you know, that he ended up being the bad guy at the end.
Yeah.
I also thought that, like, that whole thing was a little confusing. I mean, it was very predictable from the beginning that the claws were going to have something to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
I did feel like there was too much foreshadowing at times. But at the same time, it is YA. So I will accept that
yeah.
it perhaps teenagers would not pick up. I don't know. I just felt like, yeah, okay, we said the claw thing like about 5 times. I'm yeah. getting that, and they can't be found. I'm understanding that there's something going on here,
right,
with these claws.
But like, it wasn't developed. Like, it was the same foreshadowing yeah. over and over. It wasn't like getting developed until it was like on fast forward. Like, okay, now it's yeah. all happening.
And we're like, there's the big kitty. Oh, yep. Okay.
Gotcha.
I see what's going on.
Picking so up what you're putting down.
But I do think, like, the ending was really powerful. So at the same yeah. time, I feel like maybe it could have been a little bit longer, and I wouldn't have been mad at it. Like, so yeah. that there weren't so many pacing issues in that last, you know, little climactic scene.
Mm-hmm.
However, I also think it did get the job done. Like, I understood what was going on, kind of. And then it was like, I do feel like, obviously, we knew Julian would probably be okay, but I kind of feel like it would have been more powerful if he died.
I thought he was going to die. I wanted – not that I wanted him to die, though. I was like, I think – I was thinking maybe when Lady Death came, she was just going to make it where he was going to be able to come back at Dia de los Muertos, because the whole yeah, thing yeah. was that – like, I thought that was going to kind of be, like, the compromise of, mm-hmm. like, they're both stuck in this – like, it's painful.
Yeah.
But like, they'll be able to see each other like once or like 2 days a year, essentially.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's what I thought was like, okay. And I think I would have been happy with that. It would have been.
Agree.
But like, is that just because we're conditioned to have so much pain in queer love?
Right. Which is the exactly what I was going to say is like, I understand why, why there was the choice made, like, to let him live.
Maybe
for
let
sure.
them have a happy ending.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
let's not
yeah,
kill
yeah.
the gays. But like, yeah, I yeah. think. I think I've been conditioned to, like, force pain and death and suffering yeah. in gay love stories.
I do think, though, in this case, like, Mans was dead. Like, yeah. he was a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it, like, would have made sense. Because yeah. we would have known, it wouldn't have just been for show to kill him off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, for the effect, it would have just quite literally made sense if we let him
yeah.
die. Completely or whatever. But I agree with you. I think it, like, it obviously I was glad that he got to live,
mm-hmm.
but I did feel like I almost feel like this would have been an even more like, oh my god, this story, if they had like had this whole beautiful love and then had to part ways.
But like, I think that's just the gay, like, that's the trope for so much gay media.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. I just think because we would have known from the beginning that it was going to happen, though. Not yeah. just like, not like when we get a random gay death, you know?
Yeah.
And you're true. Like, oh my god, no, ow, ah. It would have been like, no, he was dead the whole time anyways.
See, because like,
they knew the they were going towards that, you know?
The thing, like, I think that was the thing that was weird. It was like, they weren't working towards this hope that he was going to come back to life.
Yeah.
Like, they never thought that he was going to, like, they were going to find a way to save him so that right. he could stay. It was like, maybe I'll have a little more time with him before he, like, we have to, like, fully send him over.
Right.
But, yeah, so then it was, like, all of a sudden, like, wait, he can stay alive? He's alive? Right. Like, I think that was what, like, I was like, what? I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah, me neither. And I think, obviously, that was on purpose. So the whole time yeah. we're thinking, okay, he's going to die, and this is going to be heartbreaking, and then we get to be, you know, we get this little relieved moment that he gets to live.
Yeah.
Hi, Yoda.
Yoda.
She has a lot to
say. Chatty. I know.
Yeah.
She likes concerned. The gay stuff, too.
Hell yeah. You're just like her mommy.
Raising a queer child.
Aw.
No straights in this house.
Aw, she's sweet. I don't know what I was going to say.
I liked the last line of the book, or it was near the last line of the book where it was like, this isn't an ending. This is like a positive new beginning or something like that.
Agree. I forgot to say this. When I went to go plug this into the script, and I was on Goodreads, it says Cemetery Boys number one.
Yes. Okay. That's because in the author on narrator talking, they were saying how he definitely has a lot of ideas and he thinks there's a lot more potential for stories with them.
Yeah. Oh, the sequel is set for release fall 2024.
I just Googled. Okay, cool.
What's it going to be called? I'm interested.
I would read it.
Yeah. Aiden Thomas tweeted on June 28th, 2022, I'm writing a sequel. Happy Pride.
I love that.
Okay. I love that. Is it going to follow? I guess it'll probably follow everybody. And I wonder if it'll be in the format of another like whodunit or
some
what.
Other dynamic. Yeah.
Because now we have no more ghosty Julian.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's alive at the moment.
At the moment. I wonder if there's going to be like any kind of like closure with regard to the uncle. We got a scene on Dia de los Muertos with his mom, right?
Yes. And okay, him in this, and he was in the ceremony and his mom got to be there for the ceremony, which was beautiful. Right. That was really cute.
That was really cute. I really liked that. The way that was all written out, because I also think like we see such a, I don't know. I think like living in the U.S., it also depends like on your family. Like my family doesn't really do anything. Like we don't do like a friend does or anything like that for Dia de los Muertos. But I did like the way that it was played out in addition to like the Brujex community.
Yes.
And like, okay, now we like where we actually get to see the spirits and things like that. And you know, I was like, okay, this is a really cool way to take this.
Build on this culture that's already here. And, like that's what he was talking about in the Thomas uses they.
I'm not 100%. I know the narrator uses they them.
Okay. So Aiden Thomas though was talking about it, and Aiden was saying like I wanted to take these like the aspects of this culture and just make it more fantastical and like add magic to it. And I think that was like beautiful way. And it was so fun to read that. I don't know. I really liked that.
Me too. I really liked it. I felt like there was so much being like explored in ways that we don't really see. I also think obviously this would have been fun to read around like Halloween.
I think so too. I was like, damn.
I was just like, oh, I know that this has trans rep and is not a white man, you know,
a white man
writing. Yeah. A white man. Right. Like it wasn't just like a queer white man or whatever for Pride. So I was trying to be more
diverse. Aiden. We can just use Aiden.
Yeah, hold on. No, hold on. I wanted to confirm something. Aiden Thomas does have other books. Aiden Thomas. The Sunbearer Trials.
Oh.
And Lost in the Neverwoods. I heard the Sunbearer Trials is described somewhere as like Percy Jackson in the Hunger Games, but queer and Mexican, which sounds so good.
Okay.
So I would be super down to read that if we want to pick up another book by them in the future.
I had such an interesting conversation this morning. It wasn't interesting. Okay. Actually, it was just I saw them, they were like halfway through Braiding Sweetgrass. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're reading Braiding Sweetgrass. Like I love that book. And she was so cute. She's like, it's changing my life. Like, I love this and blah, blah, all this stuff. And then we started talking about authors. And she was also like, yeah, I do not read things written by men. Mm. And also, and then we were like, and then, oh, one of my coworkers, Jared, shout out Jared, fucking love Jared. Jared goes, yeah, like, I don't know, like, I've been trying to read, like, a lot of classics recently, like, to get back into reading. And then I made a joke, and I was like, oh, like, The Lightning Thief. And then we were talking about that, and it was like, oh, Rick Riordan can do no wrong, like, love that man, all that. Like, I'll read his books. I don't know. It was just such a fun little book conversation in my coffee shop. Yes.
How cute.
But I made a funny one. I called Rick Riordan a classic.
That's actually very funny, honestly. Yeah. I respect you for making that.
Thank you. Funny. I was proud of that. So funny. I wanted to share.
Isn't it so weird talking to, like, non-book people in the wild, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I constantly, like, people are like, oh, what are you reading? And I'm like, well, how do I explain, what I'm reading right now?
So there are dragons and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Me, like, trying to read Fourth Wing.
Yeah.
Last, over the weekend, which, by the way, I finished in 2 days.
I'm so excited to read that.
We can cover it literally whenever. I got it on Audible, so you can listen to it on Audible.
Okay, thank you.
Just be warned that the next one comes out in the fall. We gotta wait.
This fall?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, well, that's hold not on. That,
let me not.
Not that long.
Let me not spread lies. I'm pretty sure it comes out in the fall. I did, like, a buddy read with my coworker Sarah, and it is so, like, worth the hype. It is. I'll save my thoughts.
Okay, save your thoughts. Yes. You already gave me some of your thoughts over text, but
yeah. Those are my thoughts.
Those are your thoughts. Got it. Okay. Yeah. I got so lucky. The next Samantha Shannon book just became available to me on Libby.
That's hilarious. It was available to me about a month ago, and I was so busy with other things that I didn't read it, and I forgot to click renew, and I was like, no. The next one is called Iron Flame, and it comes out November 7th, 2023.
Fantastic. That's not that long of a wait. I'll be so busy until then.
Well, when you finish it, it feels like a long time. Okay. I need to know.
I want that feeling. I want that feeling. I haven't had that feeling. I was
fully having that feeling. Like,
okay.
I read Friday night when I started it. I read until, like, 25% of the way through. Yeah. Like, I got like a few hundred pages in. And then I went to a coffee shop on Saturday, by the way. Found a new place I really, really like.
Yeah, you sent me Snapchat.
It's the sister coffee shop of this other coffee shop that I've gone to a lot since we've moved here.
Uh-huh.
But this one is, like, so cute. And it's like a house. It's, like, set up like a house. You walk upstairs. You walk through a front door. There's, like, a bathroom key. Like, and there's fucking just adorable rooms of a house with, like, seats. It's so cute. Anyway, I digress. And I sat there and quite literally read from, like, 30% to, like, 60%.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, I need to go home because I feel like things are going to happen and I'm going to cry and I don't want to cry in public.
Yeah.
So I did. And then I literally told Esty, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't feel like going anywhere. I feel like I need to sit on the couch for the rest of the night and finish this book. And that's exactly what I did. Like,
I'm so happy for
you. Did not move from that spot. Read the whole thing. Cried a lot.
Okay.
It was so, so good.
I'm ready. I need it.
Yeah, so definitely can't wait to talk about that in a more official
manner
way. Yeah.
Okay.
But it gave me the feeling, you know, that feeling. I had, like, that a feeling. Book hangover. So now I'm reading The Hunger Games because I was like, I feel like I need another feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to read, I don't know what I'm going to read next, but something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exciting.
So anyways, this book.
Yes, back to Cemetery Boys.
This was, like, a solid 4 for me.
Yeah, I give it a 4. I think I enjoyed it. I think the plot could use, I don't know, it wasn't, like, the strongest plot, but, like, I loved the little gays. So,
yep. Same. And I think also just I am in a spot where, like, YA really has to hit different for me to like it, you know, like, love it. But this would have been so good to have had when
you were a YA.
Gays. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think more of this.
Yes.
Yeah. I think more.
Yes.
Brain work? No. Maybe.
No.
Question mark? Who knows? Okay. No. I think that's what we're going to leave it for this episode. Before we part, we'd just like to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening on, if applicable. What else was I saying? If you have any further questions regarding topics discussed throughout the episode, feel free to join our Hardcover Host Discord server via the link in the show notes or send us an email at hardcoverhostpod@gmail.com. Feel free to recommend books to cover in future episodes as well. As always, I am Sam Cabrera-Dixon.
I'm Sammy Skorstad.
And this has been an episode of Hardcover Hose. If you enjoyed this listening experience and you'd like to follow along with us next time, the next book on our to-be-read list is Felix Ever After by Kaysen Callender. Until we meet again, enjoy your reading. Bye! Bye.